This week, millions of students around the globe will learn the basics of computer coding in just 1 hour. The Hour of Code movement is going into overdrive during Computer Science Education Week. And organizers say writing a line of computer code really isn't as hard as you might think. Even President Obama has done it. Sal Khan is the founder and CEO of the online learning platform Khan Academy. It features video tutorials like this one, where Khan explains geometry.
We know that we can find the area of a rectangle by multiplying the base times the height. The area of a rectangle is equal to base times height. In another video, we saw that if we're looking at the area of a parallelogram, and we also know the length of a base, and we know its height, that the area is still going to be base times height.
As part of our View from the Top series, Sal Khan joins us from Mountain View, California. Welcome to Here and Now.
Great to be here.
Sal, what inspired you to start poking around with coding when you were a student?
Well, I was probably early high school or late middle school, and I had one of those TI-85 calculators, and I just started reading the manual, and I realized I could make video games on it. And so that was my first hook, and that was back in the day when you didn't have the internet to look up things and to get help. But that immediately got me hooked, where you said, hey, you can create anything you want using a computer.
Hacking the calculator. I like it.
That's where I started, and then I eventually convinced a local professor to let me use some of his computers, but that was kind of my first glimpse of how exciting it could be.
You guys at Khan Academy, you're big supporters of teaching kids the value of coding and the Hour of Code movement and program. Why is that? Why teach kids who may still be, you know, trying to master the basics of addition and subtraction? Why should they learn the basics of coding?
I think in the next few decades, at least having a strong familiarity with software and what programming can accomplish is pretty powerful.
It seems like we've got a long way to go, Sal, before, you know, learning to code becomes a foundational educational tool.
Yeah, I mean, the hard thing about programming is that it hasn't been there traditionally. So, you know, we were trying to find space for it in the traditional school system. A lot of educators haven't been exposed to it when they were young. So that's the challenge. But there's also an opportunity in that there isn't anything to replace. It's greenfield. It's a new area. And there's all sorts of incredible tools for people to learn. And when I talk about people, I'm not just talking about students. I'm talking about people of all ages. I encourage parents, teachers, people of all walks of life to start dabbling a little bit.
What benefit do you see for adults who might be deep into their professional lives and raising families? And, you know, what benefit to them to sort of hit restart and start taking some maybe remedial math education programs or learn the basics of coding?
Well, you know, in almost any profession that you're in now, software is starting to play a larger and larger role. And the folks who at least have a familiarity with how a program works, how does software work, what is it capable of, what is it not capable of, they're going to be in a really great position to, especially if they wanted to start something, be entrepreneurial. A lot of people have these phobias because they were in school and, you know, they remember seeing the chalkboard and not knowing what was going on, mainly because they were pushed ahead while they had these gaps. But now you have all of these resources where you can go at your own time and pace. And what we hear over and over again is they find it fun.
Khan Academy has pioneered online learning and tutoring with its free website. But last year you launched the Khan Lab School, an actual brick and mortar elementary school in Mountain View, California, in Silicon Valley. To some, Sal, that would be like Amazon opening a bunch of brick and mortar stores. I mean, why did you think it's necessary to open a bricks and mortar school?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people, when they think about virtual anything, they do make that comparison of, say, an Amazon.com versus a Barnes & Noble's. And I and Khan Academy, we never viewed it that way. We view the virtual as something that can empower the physical, that if students can get lectures at their own time and pace, they can get exercises, they can have a programming platform. That doesn't mean that the classroom gets replaced. It means the classroom gets liberated. It doesn't have to be about a lecture anymore. Students have to learn at the same time and pace. Classroom time could be much more about Socratic dialogue, building projects, whatever else. And so we wanted to prove it out. We've been working with a lot of great schools who've been doing aspects of this, but we started a lab underneath our offices, literally, where we have mixed age. It's full year, full day. The students do mastery-based personalized learning for kind of the first half of the day. But we have a lot of focus on kind of metacognitive skills like entrepreneurship and creativity. And the second half of the day, and they're here till 6 o'clock, they're building stuff. They're making things.
All ages mixed together, that's kind of a core ideal of Montessori schools. Is it kind of a Montessori-esque program?
Yeah, you know, you could almost imagine this is a bit of a Montessori 2.0. I mean, the whole principle of Montessori is students learn by exploration, play. They learn at their own time and pace. They have mixed age. And mixed age allows older students to mentor and younger students to get that mentorship. And, you know, what we're doing is exactly that. But Montessori has historically struggled as you go into the more advanced subjects, as you get to your algebra and your physics and your chemistry. And that's where tools like Khan Academy come into play, because now students can still learn at their own time and place, and they can still explore, and they can pull the information they need to solve real-world problems. So we are inspired by Montessori, and I would like to think that Maria Montessori would be pretty excited if she saw what was going on.
Aren't you at risk of creating a kind of two-tier Khan Academy? I mean, your online lectures are free and open to anyone around the world. Your brick-and-mortar school is an expensive private school, as I understand it, that costs something like $23,000 a year.
You know, Khan Academy is on track, and hopefully it does reach hundreds of millions, billions of students, and empowers them where if they have a low-cost cell phone, they can start to self-educate themselves. But we think that the opportunity now is, you know, not just online. We want to catalyze change more broadly. And, you know, what does a physical classroom look like? Break out of this kind of Prussian factory model of education. And what we said is we needed to create a lab school, but we don't want to just create another one-off progressive private school. So everything that we're doing in this lab school, we're sharing. We're sharing with local public private schools, all the curricula. We're going to open source it, figure out what works, what doesn't. But then when you figure out things that do work, share it with the rest of the planet.
And you'll openly share best practices learned out of this lab school.
Yeah, that's the exact reason. And the reason why we did it as an independent school so that we could really push all of the boundaries. You know, to do full year, full day would have been very hard to do in any other context. To do a fully mixed age, very hard in any other context. Every 6 weeks, we kind of look at what worked, what didn't work, and we kind of reset it, reboot it, and we try new things. So it really is in the spirit of kind of the innovation of Khan Academy. You know, Khan Academy's mission is free world-class education for anyone, anywhere. And if we really want to understand what is possible in a physical classroom, we need a lab.
You spend a lot of time perfecting your online lectures, but there has been criticism over the years, including some of the methods and the format itself, the sort of the sage on the stage lecture format. Some see that as outdated, whether it's done online or in person. Has your own understanding of what makes a good educator changed much since you launched Khan Academy?
Well, I think there's some reality to that notion that these lectures are lectures. And they're, you know, if you look at a Khan Academy video, they're these kind of traditional chalk talk explanations. What's different is how someone consumes them or the attitude. You know, if you go to a traditional lecture hall, it's pushed onto you, while a Khan Academy-like video, you only watch it if you need to watch it. You're like, hey, wait, I don't quite get that. Let me go get a 10-minute explanation. Oh, now I want to learn the next thing. So when you have lectures on demand, it really just kind of takes them off the table. They're there, and they are useful sometimes, and then it allows you to work at your own time and pace, and you only watch the videos if you want an on-demand explanation.
That's interesting. The man who's pioneered the online lecture is openly admitting there are deep limitations of them.
Yeah, well, I think they're valuable, but I would never say that they somehow constitute a complete education. I think if I'm confused about something, hey, to get a 5-10 minute explanation of it, I think that's valuable, and you're pulling it, so you have a very different mindset.
I mean, the research shows that students learn best when they, you know, work through challenges together, stumble around, try to find answers and come up with solutions themselves with help from a good teacher, and that's hard on a one-way lecture dialogue online.
You know, everything we advocate, and, you know, this was even some of the ideas of the lab school, is the students should work on problems. It could be kind of more traditional problems, or it could be more open-ended inquiry type projects. And then while they're working through those, they say, wait, you know, I need to figure out how fast this thing's going to fall. I need help here. Then when you pull that knowledge, it's going to stick a lot better. So yes, I agree with that, that the best way to do it is look at it from a problem-solving point of view. Try to struggle with the problem and then pull the knowledge as you need it. And it could be an on-demand lecture. It could be looking at a reference book, asking your friend, asking a teacher, you know, finding an article on the internet someplace, or whatever it is. But when you pull it, it's going to stick much more than when it's pushed onto you.
Sal Khan is the CEO and founder of the Khan Academy. Sal, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, let us know what you think about Khan's philosophy on education. Have you tried relearning math with a video tutorial from Khan Academy? What'd you think? Did it work? What's the future of online learning? You can tell us at hereandnow.org.